My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They did just enough. Got it done yesterday. 2-1. The Guardians beat the Tigers, now in command of this series. This must win, as close to a must win in July series in the history of baseball as we've had right here in Northeast Ohio. Anthony Lima, Danny Cunningham here. I'm paraphrasing.
That's what people are saying.
I'm paraphrasing.
As close to a must win as it gets.
I don't want to get fast and loose with the terminology because I know some people can get sensitive about that stuff.
Just don't take anyone out of context.
I won't do it. I refuse to. And there's nothing to take out of context here. 2-1. The Guardians get it done. And boy, that losing streak seems like a distant memory.
It's all fine and well now because they won two straight games. Do you feel better about this baseball team? Do they not need to go out and make big trades to solidify themselves as contenders because they beat Detroit twice?
The most common text I got yesterday was their offense is broken. But thank God they won.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to feel otherwise. I guess I feel good about that win because of who they beat and what that pitching matchup was. Where
absolutely,
you beat one of the best pitchers in baseball yesterday. So that's great, but winning games by scoring two runs is something that's always going to concern me. Now, it's a little different because, like I said, the pitching matchup, but I felt better about the win the other day when they scored five runs compared to yesterday.
Well, they have gone up against a lot of the better pitchers of late, and they have struggled to, eke out hits. I mean, like yesterday, just doing enough. And obviously, Naylor getting that ball to get through up the middle. I think even Underwood said game of inches.
I thought there was no way that was a hit. I was so mad when he swung at that pitch. I was 3-0. Instantly so mad because it was a 3-0 count. He did the same thing the day before, and he popped up. He popped up on a 3-0 count. On on Tuesday, he did that. So I thought immediately that he just hit a ground ball to the second baseman and wasted what was, to that point, a good at bat and a great opportunity. I could not believe it got through.
Here's what it sounded like.
Big bouncer on a 3-0 pitch and gets through. Bo Naylor scores the go-ahead run. Jose stops at third.
Top spin.
And again, with it count 3-0, Josh Naylor is one of those guys you cannot throw a get-me-over fastball. It was up, it was over the plate, and the infield.
Watch the second hop on this ball, and it jumps past Key. Look at I thought he was there. It was routine, but he had to reach for it. That ball had some spin, and it just took off, got into the outfield, and they will take a 2-1 lead.
You could even hear it, audio courtesy of Bally's, you could even hear Underwood at the start of that. Like, what is he doing swinging? I mean, there was, I think it was basically what everybody was thinking at that point.
Right. Like, I actually don't have issue with him swinging at a get me over fastball. I didn't think that pitch was a get me over fastball. If that was either barely in the strike zone or above the strike zone. And like the pitch selection for him, I think is a big part of the reason why he's been struggling. I think he entered yesterday's game, he was 1 for his last 17 or something along those lines. Like, it has been bad for Josh Naylor. So to see him swing at that pitch, I was immediately frustrated. And then that second hop, as Rick mentioned, had some topspin on it, somehow found a way to get through. You felt a little bit better because it ultimately meant a Guardians win.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, it was a sigh of relief type of win, because what you didn't want to have happen was, you know, that, man, they can't beat a good pitcher. They just can't get a beat on these guys. And then yet they come through, they get a win. You want to call it whatever you want. Luck, grit, resolve, you know, getting a victory like that. But it certainly is becoming more and more common that you're starting to wonder about the offense. And that is coming at a time where they can help the offense. They are certainly in position to do just that. And I think it's becoming crystal clear, like, what the issues are. And I think they haven't really changed all that much this season. But I look at any of the trade deadline chatter, I mean, everybody kind of understands what this is for this team and what stakes are.
Yeah, the stakes are real. I think that this is a team that, if they make the correct moves, is capable of winning the World Series. I want them to obviously go out and make those correct moves. They need to bolster the lineup a little bit. They need to add starting pitching. And I think that they need another arm of the bullpen. I know the bullpen has been the best in baseball, and it was excellent again last night. I cannot believe how good, and we don't even have to talk about Class A when talking about how excellent they are. I can't believe how good Hunter Gaddis has been.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the one guy for me. I think that he's at 18 consecutive scoreless innings, which is just ridiculous considering what he was when he was starting games for this team last year, a couple years ago, where it just felt like they had no chance, to now he's turned into one of the best relievers in baseball. But I think they needed another concern with what this rotation has been, is that they're going to get burnt out in the back end of that bullpen at a certain point this year. We're not there yet, but that doesn't mean we won't be there. So I do think adding an arm to that bullpen in addition to a starter or two and a bat in the lineup. Like, this lineup needs, I think, just a little bit of, it needs some rejuvenation.
Yeah, to go along with the other guys kind of getting back into the scheme of things, I think maybe there's some pressing going on. You were talking about the bats that Naylor is really struggling with. We were talking about, you know, just seeing things, a level of confidence, and just kind of wasted opportunities at the plate. Thank God. Thank God he comes through yesterday. And I don't know what you want to call that. That at bat altogether, you said you had no problem with him swinging there. I know a lot of people were kind of grumbling.
I didn't have a problem with the result. When he swung, I was frustrated. But because this was a team, and if you're a process-oriented person, and I tend to be, you're going to be frustrated with that. But the result was good enough to... It's kind of like, you know, nice catch, Hayes, don't do it again type thing. That's kind of how I felt about that at bat.
I mean, here we are. Best record in the American League again. I could tell there was a Paul in the room when I walked in, because Mitch was watching Yankee highlights in the Subway Series. Oh, and he was Francisco
mad.
Lindor looking like an MVP out there and crushing the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees just collapse. Gerrit Cole was on the mound yesterday. So you look around, and this is what I got to keep reminding everybody of, regardless of whether you're calling these must wins or you're worried about the offense or you're wondering about the starting pitching, and we'll get to your level of what looked like potential concern yesterday with Bibee. But, I mean, look at these other teams and the issues that are right in front of them. It's not like, you know, oh, the Guardians have a hole that they have to fix or they can't compete with these other teams. No, it's nonsense. I mean, the Guardians are right up there, and they've been there. It's not like a Johnny-come-lately at this point. This has been sustainable. They're to 21 games above 500. That's
right.
Why I wasn't buying any of the, whether panic, fine, concern. I think if you're not normal if you don't always have a little concern about your team. I mean, I don't care who you are. When the Cavs had LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie, I always had concern. That's just normal being a sports fan. But the panic that I was sensing from some people made zero sense to me.
Right. And I don't think there's a team in the American League right now that is some unbeatable juggernaut. I know the Guardians have the best record. We think of Baltimore as a really good team, and they are. But you know who's also had a rough month of July? Baltimore has. Like, the reason, a big part of the reason why, despite being not great over the last 20 or so games, a big reason why the Guardians still have the best record in the American League, It's because Baltimore hasn't been able to put it together either. They're 3-7 in their last 10. You're talking about the Yankee highlights that are on TV. They've not been very good lately either. Like, there's not a team in the American League that has really just gone out and grasped control. And I think the Guardians have an opportunity to do that. There's not a team that I view as a terrifying matchup in the playoffs. I think the Guardians could be that team for some other teams across the league if they make the proper moves within the next week.
Owen?
Just looking at strength of schedule left.
SOS.
Yeah, we got to get it in here.
I thought this was only a college football number.
Oh, Tankathon's
got one for MLB,
too. I love Tankathon.
But Guardians, hardest strength of schedule left. They've got 61 games left. They've got Philly still. They got Baltimore still. They've got the Dodgers, the Brewers, Yankees, Twins. They got a ton with the Twins. 8 games with the Twins still. When you look at Baltimore, they're 21st. Yankees, 23rd. Twins, 16th. But they're a playoff team, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So does any of that really matter?
I mean, it matters to an extent. There's no doubt about that. Like, it does matter who you play. It's not. But in the same breath, look at some of the teams they've actually struggled against this year. They've struggled for whatever reason against the Chicago White Sox, the worst team in baseball.
Only three left with them.
They've struggled.
Thank God.
They've struggled to find a way to beat the White Sox. Detroit, not great.
Well, even
Detroit.
Only
three left with them.
In the 10 games they played, I think they've split 5, and the Tigers have scored more runs. And if you only watched these games, you would think the Tigers are probably the better team.
Yeah.
If you watched this matchup.
Especially when you ask who has the better starting pitching. The Tigers have two guys that Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But for now,
we're down to 5 days left.
Were you sitting there yesterday? I think Mitch was it you who texted the group thread?
It was a great text, Mitch.
About making a trade, like during the game. Can you just go get him right now?
No, yeah, Flaherty, because Bybee had just gotten out of the game, and I had seen somebody else say it, and then I put it in the chat.
Anything to do to get him pulled out of the game, right?
It would have been a double whammy for Detroit. So yesterday, a lot of speculation. As this is the case, when everybody's as dialed in as they are, with the fans watching as closely, I mean, my phone blew up about Bybee's exit from that game. I mean, he had given up 2 hits. Pitch-wise, 67 pitches. He was masterful.
It was the most efficient start of his career. I don't know if it was the best. I'd have to go look at everything that he's done. But he was awesome yesterday. And then you see him leave the game, you just think, oh, of course. This is how this year's going to go with this pitching staff. Where every good pitcher they have is either hurt and having surgery or hurt and in AAA because they refuse to get surgery. And now we're just going to lose another one.
All right. There is one person in this room who has coached the little ones when it comes to baseball. Mitch? Owen, did they have superstitions out there on the diamond?
The little ones, not as much as the big ones, but there are. I think the one that you're going to bring up is one that might be the first one you learn when you're on defense playing baseball.
Which is what? You stay away from what?
You do not touch that foul line. You got to get over it by any means necessary.
When you're going out.
And why don't you touch it, Owen?
Yeah, why is it poison?
Well, you don't want to give up runs, right?
What's that have to do with it?
You don't want to anger the baseball gods.
Right.
Those lines are sacred out there on the field.
Are they?
Well, I've seen this. I remember I was young. I think it was Turk Wendell of the Chicago Cubs had like 30 superstitions, and one of them was leaping over that line. And you saw it yesterday. And I want to know, is this where the injury actually occurred? Because Bally's had a great look at it. Cameras are always on these guys. And he jumped. He got like 3 feet of air trying to jump over that.
One of his best jumps of the season.
It might have been. And next thing you know,
going to need a compilation of all the jumps.
He comes up lame after that. Now, I don't know if they fess up to it. Baseball players get injured doing a lot of stupid things all the time. So it's almost become a joke about how these guys, these athletic beasts, are getting injured.
Right. I don't know if that's how he developed the injury last night. So I don't want to say this for sure, but how are you one of the, I mean, I'm not going to say he's as athletic as certain NBA players or NFL players, but how are you considered to be one of the best athletes in the world and that's how you get injured? How is that a thing? Like, that is something I'm confident you could do, Lima, and not get hurt.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm confident you could do that and not get hurt.
Have you seen Lima on a baseball slash softball
field? Not even baseball. Have you seen me go up into the parking garage and climb the steps? The amount of times over the last 12 years I have tripped and fallen up those steps trying to sprint. Do we have an update after the game, Steven, vote on Bybee, and I think maybe you'll feel a little bit better.
He's doing all right, yeah. Just had some cramping. Probably could have got through it, but you just can't take a risk of him hurting something or doing something like that. I mean, he fought me pretty good out there, but I had to make a decision, and letting him go further could have been a danger into him. So we just had to make sure he's all right.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted to go.
And that makes me feel better. It does. It always makes me feel better when a guy is removed from injury, and then you hear the manager after the game talk about how he wanted to keep going, but I had to be the one to make the decision.
Yeah.
That always makes me feel better about this type of thing. So I do feel, I don't want to say I feel confident he's going to make his next start, but it does sound like we should be surprised if he doesn't.
Well, it's also nothing new with Tanner Bibee. Coming up in about last night, you'll hear from him. It was a masterful appearance on the mound, and the bullpen did their job. Speaking of bullpen, how about Cade Smith? The Cleveland Guardians joining us at 9 o'clock today, getting ready for the finale of that series. It will be awesome having him on. So 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick it off the right way with Cade Smith of the Guardians. A lot of fun questions to go in to it with him, as he is one of those on the best bullpen in all of baseball. I saw it again last night, Manuel Clase with yet another save. Is that 31?
31,
just
yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
One more closer to Cody Allen.
He's getting there. What? Is he eight?
Eight away.
From tying and nine to surpass him?
We need like a countdown board.
We have an Allen scale. We're having it shipped in today.
It's about time. We're a little late to the party on that.
Like when they have the magic number and they pull the numbers down to get closer. We need one of those
just
for Class
like Major
A.
League.
All right. When we come back, we'll certainly
make
get to that.
Cody Allen in the studio soon.
About last night, did you know the Olympics are finally underway? And then all of us together in studio as we were prepping learned something about the U.S. soccer team that we had no idea, showing you where we're at right now on the Olympics. I swear, we'll get more and more excited about it. Plus, somebody came on this radio station yesterday and said something that I couldn't believe about Ryan Day. That's all coming up straight ahead. Plus, a drama-free camp for once for your Cleveland Browns. Is that even possible? We'll debate it here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, Guardians get it done. Get another victory. They're going to go for three in a row today. A beautiful situation from where we were just 48 hours ago. People were nervous.
The vibes have changed.
I think they have. I think some people were overreacting, obviously. But it is always nice to change things around. And now they are 5-5 versus Detroit so far this year. So Naylor gets that one through. But all eyes were on Tanner Bibee yesterday. He left the game, giving up just two hits. We heard from Vogt earlier, last segment, where he said just probably wouldn't have been all that smart to try to gut through it, even though he wanted to.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo, if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But turns out there's a bit of a history with the cramping.
In college, my last year in college, and I think I've, at some point, ever since the Seattle start, I think I've cramped up a little bit every single time. But this time, I mean, it was just kind of everything kind of cramped up. What's most frustrating is, like, if it was one, that'd been fine. Like, I can pitch through that. I've done it since Seattle. Like, I cramp up every single start, it feels like. But everything happens like that, I mean, it sucks.
Also, you feel a little better that in a tied game, you've got that bullpen.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You never want to leave a game, but.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it concerning to you that he says he's cramped up almost every single start? Like, that's what just jumped out about me about that clip.
It just popped into my head that, you know, divisional series. We've got Bybee on the mound feeling good, right? He's our, him and Gavin Williams say they don't make any moves. They're our aces. And we get into the fourth and he goes, I'm cramping. And it gives me flashbacks of the drone all over again.
Like, what's his diet like if he can't get through a start without cramping up?
Probably need more potassium.
I would think so. Eat a banana, man.
Now, it was kind of humid after the rain came down. So maybe that played into it.
Has it been humid every start?
I don't think so.
What about it starts indoors? I'm sure he's had at least one.
Salt tablets and stuff like that.
They have ways to remedy. Well, he goes five innings.
Drink a Gatorade.
He gave up just the one earned run. And again, I mean, 43 of his 67 pitches were strikes. Handed it over to the bullpen, which locked it down. It was incredible. You mentioned Hunter Gaddis earlier in the show.
It's been fantastic.
He has been fantastic. And then Class A, it's like, ho-hum, 12 of 17 pitches were strikes. And I love how they chart his pitches. It's very cool because you see it. It's not just a Cleveland thing. Like, you will see other baseball fans go, what was that? How in the heck do you even come close to trying to hit that pitch?
You don't. And it's awesome because he faces off against some of the best hitters in the world. And those guys, when Class A is on, and obviously not every pitcher is on every time they start, but when he is on, those guys just have absolutely no chance. It is unbelievable to watch how foolish they can look trying to hit his 101 mile an hour cutter. It's amazing.
It's got to be one of the most unhittable pitches in all of baseball right now. Remember, Mariano Rivera had stuff that was unhittable. It's
how fast was he throwing his cutter?
Yeah, right.
Like 94?
Right, not 102.
Yankees fan, how fast did Mariano Rivera throw?
Pretty fast.
102?
Not 102.
Yeah. Well,
the off speed right now is 92.
It's just wild. It's a fastball for some guys in this rotation.
And it's going to be about shortening those games come postseason. I mean, no doubt with this bullpen, as long as they're not overworked, as long as they can stay healthy, and that's going to be a huge bonus, a huge advantage for this Guardians team as we get later. Other teams are going to be trying to get reliever help. There's no doubt. Jason Loy was on and said the Guardians could even add another bullpen arm. I'm like, man.
I think it makes sense. Like, and I do worry. I worry about this bullpen being worn out by the end of the year. They've been tasked with a lot. The starting rotation has not gone very deep into games. I mean, you know, we kind of joke about the cramps with Tanner Bibee, but how often have we seen a guy that has only gone out and been able to get through five innings, if that? How many times has a starter only pitched four innings? And the Guardians have still found a way to win that game because the bullpen's been able to be that good and the offense can come back or can take a lead late in the game. But that stuff, I think, catches up with you at the end of the year. And that is one of my concerns with this team.
All right, Josh Naylor, yesterday, he made the difference, swinging at that 3-0 pitch that got up the middle and just out of the outstretched arms of the fielder to bring in the winning run. So how does the manager feel about a player who has been slumping at times but came through yesterday in Josh Naylor?
For him to come through like that for us, it's just what he does, you know, and that's, I keep telling everybody here, right? It's, I'm not worried about him. I know the results maybe aren't there right now all the time, but this guy is an ultimate competitor. He's our guy, and he's going to come through for us, and he has time and time again. He takes it personal and goes up there, and Josh always plays a little chip on his shoulder. That's what gives him some edge, and for Nails, he's a special guy, and I just love the fire that he has.
Ken Carmen has said many times that he's the most exciting player in baseball. And so,
in some ways, I mean, watching him and then slam the bat against his head or something like that. Yeah, he's exciting in that way. There's no doubt. I would prefer probably. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, ESPN just highlighted the Bibee move where they think the injury went down. And it was definitely him jumping over.
Hey, it worked, though. We still won the game.
Still won the game.
You know, if you don't want to step on the line, you can just walk over. You don't have to jump.
It's different. You got to spring over that thing. You got to let the line go.
Do you understand superstition? Apparently, you do not. These guys, creatures of habit. This is what he has to summon to make it work.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I don't know that you have to jump that high.
It's pretty important in winning baseball games, not touching that line.
But getting in an altercation with someone who's been arrested for doing something. Let's get into Cal Quantrill, our old friend. Did you see this yesterday?
Oh, yes.
This was one of the great meltdowns that you will see in baseball. Always love this stuff. Feels like a July situation as Cal Quantrill went to his trolling game. Benches cleared against the Boston Red Sox yesterday. Listen to this.
Cruz. Well, good job by Cal Quantrill to limit the damage. Yeah, what's going on? Stallings and Quantrill, and both benches are amped in. Reese McGuire took issue with Cal Quantrill.
So they started jumping.
Somebody's yelling at Bud Black. Nick Pavetta's yelling at Bud Black. Jaron Duran's now yelling too. A bunch of Red Sox guys. Alex Cora is getting hot.
All right, so the visual is terrific. Audio courtesy of Rockies TV. Danny, are you familiar with the track record of Reese McGuire, who Cal Quantrill was joined with?
I have heard that he's had some off the field issues in his past, maybe that have happened in a parking lot at a certain point in his life.
I would say so. As he was charged with exposure of sexual organs, a first-degree misdemeanor that's punishable with up to 1 year in jail. He pleaded no contest and faced just a $450 fine. That really wasn't the punishment for him. The punishment for him was what Cal Quantrill did yesterday on the field. That was where the punishment
How
was.
How often do you think that happens to Reese McGuire? How often do you think he is reminded of that incident?
This can't be the first, right?
No. Oh, I'm positive it's not the first time.
That's for sure the rest of this season. How many seasons does it continue to be reminded to him?
Well, I mean, this issue happened, when was this, 2020?
Yeah. February of 2020, yep.
This was a long time ago.
And this is not going anywhere.
But no.
If
you know that now this is a thing that can maybe give your team the edge, are you bringing it up every opportunity you get when you play the Red Sox?
I think that if you are a wise team and the Red Sox are in your ballpark, you might instruct your in-house DJ to be playing a song that maybe references it every time he steps to the plate.
I believe that has happened.
It has.
In the past.
I believe there's a Michael Jackson song you could play that might just bring some attention to it.
Hey, Dave, do you have friends that still remind you of maybe something stupid you did back in the day and it still comes up and there's getting past it?
I mean, I think every guy does, right? Like, I'm sure you do. If you have a group of friends, that is part of being in that friend group. You're going to be reminded of past things that you've done that maybe you're not too proud of. Now, they don't rise to this level, at least not for me. I don't know about for you. But yeah, they exist.
Anthony? Do any of yours rise to this level?
Every day. Might have had an incident in Parkersburg. Yeah, every day. Yeah, it still gets brought up.
Power Ranger incident.
Well, there was that incident in Parkersburg. That was an interesting weekend.
Is that number one?
We're going to be out of time.
Yeah, we actually will be out of time. Oh, by the way, U.S. Olympic team, the soccer team. I didn't know one provision for making that soccer team.
Yeah.
And Mitch, you had to look it up because you didn't believe Danny. I said, well, we lost.
Why would you believe me, Mitch?
Well, we lost 3-0. Was it our best players? As if it would have mattered, by the way.
No, we still might have lost 3-0.
Why wouldn't it be our best players? It's the Olympics,
right? Danny?
Well, it's under 23. I don't understand why. And I don't.
Wait, it's not 23 and under. It's
U23. I don't know.
22-year-olds.
I don't know if that means 23 and under or.
No, under 23 is 22.
But right? I don't know the exact rules. I just know that it is. There's an age born limit. On date? There is an age limit for the Olympics for soccer. And I don't know if it's the same in women's as it is in men's, but I know men's is there's an age limit.
Do they need this in the men's? I mean, you'd have a fraction of the eyeballs watching it, obviously. And the only reason people are watching is to see if United States loses, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into soccer, so like I don't watch this. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of this is. I truly
flipped it over in time to see two goals scored on them and promptly left. Oh, it was
quick. Yeah, it was quick. It was scoreless. It was 0-0 at the half, as the kids would say.
That's what they were talking about.
That's it for about last night. Thank you.
Oh, fabulous as always, Anthony.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear that, so I was a little nervous. This wasn't slow at all. When Brett McMurphy comes on, the people listen. He is a great college football analyst, reporter. He's at the Action Network. At times can be very controversial. The message boards love to hate him.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells you you're doing your job.
Message boards love to hate everybody, though.
They do. They do. But in the college football landscape, like Brett McMurphy, people have gone after him. Listen to what he says about Ryan Day potentially being on the hot seat this year. The Ohio State football coach.
The narrative inside the program and outside the program is it's national title or bust. So I've talked to some other reporters trying to think about the last time there's been a school that's gone into the season that's had that attitude, national title or bust. And then what's kind of ironic is the AP preseason poll comes out August 12th. They're going to be ranked number 2. Like they're not even going to be ranked number 1, but their whole mentality is national title or bust. Obviously, all the guys that decided to come back to Ohio State instead of going to the NFL. I just wonder if with all that pressure there and all that focus there, if maybe they play, instead of playing to win, they play not to lose, and if that impacts them in any way. But look, Ryan Day on the hot seat. I mean, if Ohio State's dumb enough to fire him, he'll have a job in 5 seconds if he wants it somewhere else.
So McMurphy cannot believe any of the discussion that he could be on the hot seat. And now I am looking at the odds. They got emailed to us overnight. Bet online. You know, Billy Napier 4-1. Sam Pittman at Arkansas 5-1. Seventh on this list is at 12-1. Ryan Day at Ohio State. We had another list that we referenced a couple days ago. The infamous Yard Barker list.
That's the one they all talk about.
Ryan Day, number one coach on the hot seat on that list. Now, Danny, I want to get your opinion first. Before we talk about this, but obviously it goes without saying, anybody that's heard me knows that not only should he be on the hot seat. I mean, he absolutely is.
I mean, you think he should have been fired before. The thing that stood out to me about this is he said, you know, it's national title or bust, and then said they're not even the number one team in the country. Like, there can be multiple programs that feel national title or bust every single year. Ohio State's in that group. They're in that group with Alabama, with Georgia right now. Like, I would say those are the three teams that feel that way every year. He's absolutely on the hot seat because you know what he has? He has maybe the most talented team in college football. He has had the most talented team in the Big Ten every single year he's been there. You know what he's not done? He's not won the Big Ten since 2020. He's not beaten since 2019. Think of everything in our world that has changed since the last time Ohio State beat Michigan. How long ago that was. And I know that you're going to bring up the COVID thing, that Michigan backed out of the 2020 game, and that's fine. But that's still a year that counts as Ohio State didn't beat Michigan. They didn't lose, but they didn't beat Michigan that year. They've not won that game since 2019.
I think they would have been like 25-point favorites in that game.
Sure, but that game didn't happen. Yeah. So you can't give him credit for a win that didn't actually take place.
No credit. Absolutely not.
So how many Ohio State coaches ever have gone 4 years without beating Michigan and survived? And if that happens this year, it'd be 5 years without beating Michigan.
Obviously,
that doesn't happen. That does not fly in Columbus.
Obviously, if it were up to me and people that thought like me, it would have never gotten to this point to begin with. The fact that Michigan won a national championship last year, that's on Ryan Day. I don't know how anybody could look at it any other way. Can he recruit? Sure. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible, but how much of that is the amount of money that boosters have raised? And anybody that thinks he wouldn't lose his job if they lost to Michigan again, of which they will be a heavy favorite this year. Of course, there's no Harbaugh. How many players went to the NFL? How many, you know,
it's
top
a different
three?
Program than it was a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, look, they've got one game on their schedule where people will probably pick against them this year in the regular season, and that's the Oregon game.
And that'll even be split. Like, there will be people that will pick against them, but it's not as if it's going to be a unanimous selection for Oregon. The other thing that I think is worth bringing up in this conversation is Ohio State has a new athletic director on staff now. And it wouldn't be crazy for that new athletic director to want to have a new football coach too, because he didn't hire Ryan Day.
No.
And if Ryan Day is not bringing the immediate success that Ohio State does and should expect this season with this particular football team, I think that makes it easier to move on from Day, because the athletic director didn't hire him. Like, if Gene Smith was still in place, the old athletic director was still there, maybe it's different. But because there's a new AD, it changes things.
So we had Ross Bjork on this very show last week, and it was a great interview. But I can assure people that Bjork has a much cozier relationship right now with the donors, with the boosters, with the NIL collective than he does Ryan Day. He can just let Ryan Day do his job. I mean, Ryan Day has assembled an incredible team. Him and his staff have put together an incredible team. Now it's time for them to do what they do, which is win a bunch of games, which they do. They will blow out a lot of teams. The schedule is Charmin soft to begin the year. I know there have been many years where that hasn't been the case, but this year, I mean, look at the schedule. They'll flourish.
You think they'll beat Akron?
I think they should be in command of that game. I saw.
What about Western Michigan?
I did see the Mid-American Conference preseason standings. So, yes, they should be okay with that. With all of that said, if people just aren't paying attention to how this stuff works, if they don't think not only is Ryan Day on the hot seat, but that it's over for Ryan Day if they lose to Michigan. They're not paying attention to how the world works. They're not paying attention how politics work. I've seen a lot of people compare politics to college football over the last week with what happened in our country. And the boosters, the donors, whatever you want to say, they are the ones making these decisions. Sometimes it's very easy for an athletic director because they can just see when the money is cut off. And I can assure you, if you lose to Michigan, that money will get cut off. I mean, there's been $20 million spent. They will not fund that program and that guy if he keeps his job, which is why I know he's not going to keep his job, because it'll be the easiest decision ever to move him and part ways with him. So Brett McMurphy can laugh at the question, which he did at the start of that, all he wants, and get to the point where he thinks there's no chance that he's on the hot seat. He 1,000% is on the hot seat if they lose to Michigan this year, especially considering who's left at Michigan and who's out the door.
Yes. If they don't, now, what if they lose to Oregon and then don't win a national championship? What if they beat Michigan so they accomplish that goal, which is the goal? You know, I don't know if that's the goal you care about most.
So they
get to the playoff. They don't win the Big Ten. They lose to Oregon.
They don't win the Big Ten. And so now,
but they still make the playoffs.
They would not have a bye.
They don't win the national championship. No, but say they win a playoff game, maybe two. Say they make it to the Final Four. Would you fire Ryan Day?
Yes, okay. I would fire Ryan Day.
Why?
Because he's holding the program back at that point. They have the most talent in college football, arguably. They have the most expensive team money can buy. What more do you need? How many more resources do you need? You couldn't win with C.J. Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr. Think of what I just said. You couldn't beat Michigan with those two guys.
This guy's never beat Michigan.
So I think
wasn't even close ever.
That would be nice to beat Michigan this year, but you are still falling well below your goals and well below what that NIL collective, what Ross Bjork is coming here to solidify national championships and continue your prominence. That would not be a good indicator of where things are heading if you struggle like that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.